it's dangerous. It often feels like we live in a pretty dark world. Like there's not a whole lot worth celebrating. There's not a whole lot that feels like light. And I would say it's felt like that's our story. It also felt like the story of Israel for a very long period of time. They felt that they did not have a new light. They did not have a fresh word from the Lord. That it was just darkness. But the prophet Isaiah had some words to say into that context, and those words, as we understand them as Christians, had everything to do with the person of Jesus. And this is what he says in chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Lord, the world seems dark a lot of the time, historically and now. And yet we're told that in you there is no darkness. In you the light shines, and in fact, you are the light. And we know though the darkness exists, the darkness cannot overcome the light, which we're told is you. And so we thank you for being this light. And not just that, but we know that it's only by you that we can see anything at all. So you're the light incarnate. But you're also the light that illumines our very being, the one who allows us to see, who gives us the chance to look around this world that you created. And so we thank you for being that light in our life, for being the light that is the life of the world. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Stand with me as you're able, as we sing and worship the Lord this morning.
Thank you. Let us pray, church. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge this beautiful day. A day we gather together here in thy house, a house which is called a house of prayer. And Lord, we come here, O God, to worship. We come here, O God, indeed, to hear the good news of what Jesus Christ is doing, has done, and will yet do in our lives because of your love and grace in us, Lord. Now bless this message this morning, I pray, Lord. Speak to someone's heart. Oh God, speak to all of our hearts that we may acknowledge you and come to worship you in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's one of my favorite times of the year, and I know that sounds a little bit strange for me to say it because you all know that my middle name is Grinch. And incidentally, at our family Christmas, we did our family Christmas yesterday, and I got two Grinch things. And people in the church now are giving me Grinch things. I may have overgone this thing just a little bit. I don't know. But today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's a Sunday in which we celebrate hope. It's a Sunday in which we really look as Pastor Jack read to us from Isaiah, and we're going to look here in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3 here in just a moment. But as you begin to look at the Word of God and you begin to think about what the Word of God has to say to us, you really find that all throughout the advent of Jesus, you're going to hear one word talked about, and that one word is light. And so this year, as for our Advent series, we're going to be talking about the lights of Christmas. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that when I read the scripture here in just a moment, you're going to say, "And why did you read that?" And don't worry, before you leave here this morning, I promise you, you're going to understand. How about that? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 60, beginning with verse 1 and going down through verse 3. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth." Now listen to this. "And a thick darkness is over all the peoples." A thick darkness is over all the peoples. "But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. While we were in college, we went on a choir tour, and it was so close to Christmas that our director, Miss Gilmore, she decided that we would stop at a place called Natchitoches, Louisiana. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you try to spell Natchitoches like it sounds, you will never find it. Natchitoches is spelled Natchitoches. You'd never find it, would you, Marcy? No. We went to Natchitoches for the Festival of Lights. And some of the kids who were part of the choir, they had been telling us, they had tried to describe it because they were from Louisiana, and they had tried to tell us what it was going to be like when we got to Natchitoches. And I found out something about descriptions, and you have too. I mean, you think about it, anytime somebody starts to try to give you a description of something or they begin to brag about something, one of two things is true about what is said, okay? Either, number one, they have so far gone beyond what it is really like that when you get there, you're disappointed. I mean, I've had people tell me about restaurants. "Oh, you got to go to this restaurant. There's one here in Crossville. I will not name it." But we had somebody say, "Oh, you got to go to this restaurant. It's absolutely wonderful." Yeah. I won't go back, The other opposite thing of that is, They try to describe what it's going to be like, but they miss it. It is so far beyond what their description was that you think, "Well, my goodness, how they must not have seen this before because they didn't describe it." I mean, but when we got there, the things that I remember about that, you get there and you're filled with anticipation. You're filled with anticipation because you want to see, you want to hear, you know. And those of you who know me well know that I hate waiting. I didn't appreciate those who laughed quite so quickly. You know, I hate the anticipation. I mean, I am of the opinion that if you're going to do something, let's do it. Let's get it over with. Let's move along. You know, I want it to happen now. But I have found out something the older that I am getting. I have found out that the waiting, the anticipation, is kind of the process. And sometimes, and my wife, I hope she doesn't fall off the seat over here. You know, sometimes the waiting can actually be as valuable as the event. I know. Well, let's go back to the story, Natchitoches, Louisiana. We waited and we walked around and we walked around and we waited and finally it was dark. Now, I have found out something across many years of living. I have found out that most of us live in cities or in towns where there's so much ambient light that you really can't tell how dark it is. You know? I mean, even in Crossville, even in Fairfield, we have, you know, there's a lot of ambient light in places, and you know, you really can't see all the stars. I'll never forget my first associate, Ronnie. Ronnie had gone on a ski trip with the group from Ponca City, St. Luke's, and he was driving along through Kansas, and all of a sudden they had stopped out in the middle of the interstate somewhere, and Ronnie calls me. And Ronnie said to me, he didn't say hello, he doesn't say anything to me other than the fact, "Pastor, there are stars." Yeah, Ronnie. And you have a college degree. The problem was, now let me be fair to him. And I told Ronnie I was going to do this, so I'm not doing something I haven't told him about. And if he watches, "Hi, Ronnie, it's good to see you. We're glad that you're with us this morning." But he was raised in Atlanta. He was raised in Atlanta, and I'm just going to tell you something, folks. If you haven't driven into Atlanta at night, I'm telling you there is so much ambient light coming off of that city, you couldn't tell whether the moon was there at times, you know. "Pastor, there are stars." Get this. Sometimes you have to be in the dark before you can see the light. Okay, back to the story again, Natchitoches, Louisiana. We were there and we waited and we walked around and finally it was dark and the street lights, they turned out, and so finally the whole place was just as dark as it could be, and they did a countdown, and all of a sudden it was a river there and all the river walk and everything was there, and all of a sudden somebody hit a switch and 300,000 lights came on, and it was breathtaking. I mean, it really was. I think back to what it must have been like when God said, "Let there be light." I mean, you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and you find that there was darkness over the surface of the deep. I mean, I don't think we understand what kind of darkness that was. I mean, can you imagine being there, and all of a sudden God speaking, and at 186,000 miles per second, light comes out of his mouth, and it is there. I mean, it just fascinates me to think about it. James Weldon Johnson described the darkness that covered the earth like this. He said it was blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Wow. We struggle with the dark. Some of you, if you were to be very honest with me this morning, you would say, "I'm afraid of the dark." You know. I mean, there are all kinds of superstitions about the dark. It's kind of scary when things that are in the dark. Ancient philosophers and theologians, they equated darkness with sin and light with goodness. And many religions are very concerned about the dark. Christianity, though, is uniquely concerned about the light. Somebody should have said amen. A lot of religions are concerned about the dark, but Christianity is uniquely concerned with the light. And for you and for me, the light is a person. We concentrate on the light that was sent into this dark world to help take care of our darkness. Advent, the word literally means coming. And it's in this Christmas, it's in this Advent season that I want us to look at the coming of the light. And the bad thing is, though, in order for us to get to the light, we start this morning with the darkness. In order for us to get to the light, we begin with the darkness. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, there's an interesting statement there. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Get this, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Can I tell you what he's talking about? Darkness. Isaiah in our passage this morning said, see, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness over all the people. Thick darkness over all the peoples. I mean, those are sad words. In John chapter 13, verse 30, when Judas leaves, John says, as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. Jesus hanging there on the cross experienced a darkness that the world had ever known. You go to Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 45, and it says, and it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. All throughout the Bible, darkness was a symbol of a life without God. I mean, Jesus spoke in John chapter 3, verse 19, saying, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of a light because their deeds were evil. I mean, really, darkness is no stranger to us. We kind of speak of the darkness that is there when our prayers aren't answered or when people are suffering and we don't understand why. We talk about people groping in darkness and they're trying to find answers. Vance Havner, that great Baptist evangelist, preached a sermon entitled Getting Used to the Dark. And in that sermon, he talks about going into a restaurant and not being able to see anything. He talks about sitting down and trying to read the menu. He talks about how his eyes gradually became accustomed to the darkness that was there. And folks, I want to tell you, that is the sad part that you and I, and where you and I are living right now, is because in a lot of ways, we have become so accustomed to the darkness in our world that it doesn't bother us anymore. We've all tried to walk around in a dark house. If you try that, I just want you to understand that is a prescription for either a broke toe or a bruised shin. You know. When I was a kid, I mean a little guy, I called out in the night for Mom to come to me, and she got up to come and see what was happening, and she did not know that the door to their room was about half open and half closed. I mean, I can still hear the whole event, and I'm a long way away from that, probably 60 years away from that. And I remember Mom walking into that door, boom, and the whole house just shook. And my dad said, Margaret, what have you done? You know? And then she said, I have half killed myself. You know? It's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. We try to walk in the darkness. We try to walk in the darkness and we are bruised and we are battered because we're trying to stumble and we're trying to get through this world in which we live. So here we are in a dark world. We have an answer. Amen? We have an answer, but can I tell you, in Isaiah's day, they really didn't have an answer. They were waiting. They were longing. They had been told something or someone was coming, but they were still waiting. And I said it earlier, and I've been your pastor long enough for you to know that I hate waiting. And I'm finding out more and more that life is really all about waiting. A child, until he's old enough to go to school, he waits. He wants to go to school. A teenager, what do they want? They want that 16th birthday to come around so that they can be old enough to get their driver's license. A high schooler waits to go to college or graduation, and people are waiting for just that right person to come along, and parents are waiting on grandkids or grand dogs, whichever the case may be, you know. People are waiting on and they're counting for retirement, you know. People wait, assuming, hoping that the next part of their life is going to be better than the last part of their life. Waiting can be difficult, though. Waiting wears on, waiting wears out a person, you know. And waiting is worsened by the darkness. If you don't believe that, have a teenager who is out somewhere and it's gotten dark and they were supposed to be home a long time ago. You know, if you don't believe that waiting is difficult, try being lost, wondering where you are, and it's getting dark. John, on the Isle of Patmos, he was alone, he was exiled, he sat in darkness, but in the midst of the waiting in the dark, hope was revealed. You go to Revelation 21. Excuse me. This is all Jack's fault, and I'm not going to say which Jack it was, you know. There in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, John says, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." All of a sudden, something is new. Something is light. And sometimes hope is born out of the darkest of circumstances. And it seems sometimes, even in the darkest of circumstances, the faintest light is something that we can hold on to and something that we can believe in. Welton Gaddy said, "Light arises out of darkness. Out of the darkness of Israel's bondage in Egypt, Moses stepped forward. From the blackest of the Babylonian exile, Isaiah began to minister. During the darkest days of the Roman Empire, Augustine appeared on the scene. In that historical period known as the Dark Ages, Thomas Aquinas labored. Light and deliverance are realistic hopes, no matter how dark the situation." Let me tell you what the message of Christmas is, okay? The message of Christmas is that Christmas begins with waiting, and waiting in the dark, but that's not where it ends. Christmas is really about a journey toward the light, and that's where we begin today. And let me just go ahead and tell you so that you'll be relieved, the next three points are shorter than the introduction. What can you get out of all this waiting? What can you get out of all this darkness? Well, the first thing that I want you to see this morning about this darkness and about the waiting is that God is in our waiting. God is in our waiting. I mean, you go through the Old Testament and you look at all those events. I mean, there's creation. There was darkness there. And then Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. And then there is the first sin, and there's darkness there. Cain and Abel are together, and they're sacrificing to God. There's a murder that happens, and there's darkness there. Noah and the ark and the flood, and there's darkness there. The call of the life of Abraham was a bright and shining moment. Until he waited, and he waited, and it got darker and darker, and it seemed like the promised child would never come. Then he did come. And God said, "I want you to take your son, your only son." Can you imagine that kind of darkness? Can you imagine that kind of waiting? Can you imagine what it was like after he tells Sarah and they're so proud of this boy, and all of a sudden something that is very common in all the people that are around them, but God says, "I want you to take him and I want you to sacrifice him to me." What was the walk like? What was the waiting like? Joseph in Egypt. He ended up in a pit. He ended up in a prison long before he ever got to the palace. Lots of waiting. Lots of darkness. And the people of Israel came to Egypt and they became slaves there in Egypt. And all of the darkness and all of the waiting and all the promise that maybe one day we'll get to go back home. And Moses appears. It's bright. And Moses goes to the mountain. And as he's on the mountain, the people are completely disobedient to God. And they're back in darkness. Go on and on and on. You read some of the Psalms, and I'm telling you, some of the Psalms are very dark. Maybe you've not seen that in them, but some of them are very dark. Some of them are the expressions of a heart that is waiting and a heart that is longing, but not seeing very many results. You go through and you read the major and the minor prophets. I mean, Jeremiah cries. It's a time of darkness. And then for 400 years, God is quiet. Sadly, we look at a whole lot of this and we see them just as Bible stories. Folks, I want you to understand something. The Old Testament is the foundation upon which the New Testament is built, and you need to know about the Old Testament as much as you need to know about the New Testament. I mean, you look at all this, but in spite of all this darkness, in spite of all this waiting, please understand something. Get this morning. In spite of the darkness, in spite of the waiting, God is at work. Like I said a moment ago, even the New Testament begins with darkness. I mean, 400 years, God has been silent. And then has an angel go to a young virgin and says, "You're going to have a baby." And she said, "How can this be?" We commend her. And it is commendable that she would say, "Be it unto your servant as you've said." But then the darkness begins. The darkness of 9 months of pregnancy. The darkness of 9 months of people saying very ugly things about her and about Joseph and what they had done when they had not done anything but just say, "Lord, let it be to me as you've said." What about you this morning? What are you waiting on? What have you been praying about, and what have you been longing for? And it just seems like the more that you pray, nothing happens. And it almost seems as though the prayers don't even get past the ceiling if they hardly get past our head. And the darkness and the waiting. If you don't get anything else this morning, I want you to get this, and I really do mean this, and I really want you to understand that God is working in your waiting. You may not see it. You may wonder how. But just as God, in all those things that I named, just as God was working in those things, just as God was bringing about His purpose in all of those things, in all of those dark times, God is working in your waiting. God is bringing about His purpose because God is in our waiting. I promise you. But not only this morning do I want us to see that God is in our waiting, but I want you to see also that light is a gift. That light is a gift. I mean, we can't just make light happen. Other than Pastor Jack lighting the candle just a few moments ago. I mean, he pressed that little lighter and he hates the sound of that buzz, I'm telling you. That's the reason he stood as far away from it as he did. I'm kidding you. We can flip a switch. We can turn a knob and instantly we have light, you know. If the electricity is hooked up, it's there, you know. But I'm not talking about electricity. I'm talking about the light that we really need in our lives. You see, Advent is a time in which we look to the horizon. Basically, Advent is a place where heaven and earth meet. I mean, it really is. I mean, for Israel, the promise of the Messiah was there. They looked to the horizon. They looked there, hoping for a glimmer of light that might be there. And Christ's coming was a burst of light that they had been looking for, that they had been longing for. And to my amazement, they missed it. Isn't it awful when you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for something to happen, and it happens so fast, and your child says, "Hey, Dad," and you look away and you look back and it's over. I can't tell you how many times that happened, but I love those girls. They missed it. It was happening. And they missed it. You see, Advent is a time of light for you and me. Light has been given to us. It's not something that we did. It's not something that we caused. It was simply given to us in the form of a baby that God had been working for before time began to bring about in this world. And it's a gift. There's not one thing that you can do to earn it. Isn't that amazing? All the other religions in our world, all these cults that are around our world today, you got to do something if you're going to get it. No. Here it is. Even while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Here it is. It's a gift. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. It's a gift. And it's been given. All you have to do is receive it. We did some silly gift exchange yesterday with the family. Megan found it on Pinterest. I should have known we were in trouble at that point. She had all this list of things, and so what we were supposed to do, it was either supposed to be a re-gift or a thrift store gift. That was a determination that we had made, okay? So Susie went and got... No, she looked and she found a blanket. And she said, "These things are supposed to be $10. And she said, "Do you have a $10 bill? That's where all my money goes." And so I gave her, I had a $10 bill. And so I gave it to her and she put it in the bag. Well, as this whole thing plays its way out, Susie ends up with her own gift, the blanket and the $10. And we're driving home yesterday afternoon. She said, "Do you want your $10 back?" To which I said, "No, it was a gift, and you got it, so you keep it." I'm a wonderful husband, I'm just going to tell you. And the light that has been given to us is a gift. It is a gift that in all of the waiting, in all of the circumstances, God was preparing for you and for me. So you see, God is in our waiting, and light is a gift. But the last thing that I want you to see in all of this morning is that God will see us through the darkness and save us by the light. I've already been talking about that somewhat. I mean, the promise of the light, which was given long before Isaiah penned these words, it was fulfilled there in Bethlehem. And all the anticipation gave way to the awareness that God had done exactly what He had promised. I mean, don't lose sight of the fact that all of the Christmas stories are not just neat stories that we combine with Rudolph or we've combined with Frosty. Please understand that. They don't even compare. It is a pitiful substitute for the reality of Christmas. I mean, the events have more to do with light shining in darkness than just a bright, beautiful star that led a group of shepherds and that finally stood over a house there in Matthew and leads the wise men to a house there. I mean, all of that is wonderful. All that is great. But it's the babe. It is the light that has come into this world to save us from the darkness of our sins. And maybe we've lived for years in darkness. Maybe you've lived in years in darkness. Jesus has come to save you. Jesus has come to really give you light. And And God is at work. And perhaps all the things that are going on in your life, you're wondering, why in the world did I come this morning? Maybe you're here this morning because you've been waiting. Maybe you've been longing. Maybe you've been looking and the light has dawned today. Huh. The light has come to give us hope. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in on our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Isn't that amazing? For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. It's amazing. Yeah, we've lived in darkness, but the light has come. We don't have to stay in the dark. The light has come. We don't have to look and hope and endure. The light has come. We may be waiting. We may not understand all that's going on, but folks, the light has come. What a beautiful story that is. Application. For so many years, the people of God waited. For so many years, they looked for and they longed for a glimmer of hope. They longed for a glimmer of light. And the reality of it is, for the most part, most of them died not ever seeing it. The Hebrew writer tells us that, you know. Most of them died and never saw it come to pass. But God still did what He said He would do. He sent the light. And we now understand. We now see the light. We now know that the light has been given us. And you may have been waiting for a long, long time for light in your situation. You may be almost to the point of giving up hope because of all the waiting. I have such good news for you. Your waiting is over. The light has come. And the light is for you, and the light is for me. And we don't have to live wondering, because He's made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God and His glory that is displayed in the face of Christ. Wow! That's the beginning of the lights of Christmas. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Susie, would you come to the piano, please? Just play that little song, "I Worship You, Almighty God." I don't know where you are this morning. I would not try to say this message was for any particular person. I don't know your hearts. I don't know your light. But maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you've been waiting. Maybe you feel like you've been longing. Maybe it just seems like light is nowhere to be found. God is with you in your waiting. And the light has been given as a gift. And God wants to take that light, and He wants to shine it in your hearts today. I wouldn't try to know or try to determine whether you need to pray this morning, but perhaps this morning the Lord has impressed upon you that you just need to come forward and say, "God, here I am. Even though I have to wait, I'm still going to serve You. Even though I have to wait, I'm still going to love You." Or maybe you would have to say, "Lord Jesus, I've been living in darkness for so long. I need to live in the light." I don't know what you need to do this morning,
But we're going to sing this little song that we sang just before I preached this morning. And if you need to pray, if you just need to come here and bow here in this altar, there will be people who will gather with you and who will pray with you and for you. But mostly, I want you to know that God will meet you here. And that God will help you here. This is not a place of disgrace. It is a place of added grace.
I worship you, Almighty God. Like you, I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. None like you.
We're going to sing it as our benediction. Here we go one more time.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise.
Amen.
For you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
Lord Jesus, we are grateful for the light that has been given. And Lord, sometimes we may feel like we're living in the dark. But thank you, Father, there is a glimmer of hope. And that glimmer of hope is Jesus. Help us not to forget that in our waiting. We love you, we thank you, we praise you for this time that we've had together this morning. Go with us, bless us, help us, use us for your glory. Bring us back to the events this evening and all of the events that we've got going on this week. May we invite somebody, because we love you and because we love people, may we invite them to be a part of something this week. Go with us, bless us, help us. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning.